Hey, welcome to the Lifetime Body Podcast. This is the show where you know science meets common sense, and we achieve peak performance at any age. We're your hosts. I'm John Zombro, and I'm here with PK. Good morning, PK.
Good morning, John.
So I am a techie performance geek, physical therapist, author, exercise physiologist, biomechanist, that sort of thing, a guy who stumbles along and marvels at human performance and what we magical human beasts are capable of doing. Having said that long-winded thing, I also should say that we are faced today with probably the longest episode title ever, at least ever for this show, and it's called Training Secrets: Leveraging Strengths and Weaknesses for Maximum Results in Performance and Longevity.
That is a mouthful, but I makes sense to me. I don't think it's, overly wordy.
Yeah, I almost felt like, like Chewbacca getting that thing out there. But, hey, guess what? We are 3/4 on our way, on our journey to episode number 100. Woo-hoo.
75. Today is 70. Who knew that we would get that many when we first set out? So explain to me how this conversation topic came up. Like, why today are we talking about strengths and weaknesses and looking at our bodies and how is this a training secret?
It's an interesting thing because just a few days ago, I was sitting at your kitchen counter and, just happened to say, hey, man, did you happen to check out the latest edition of ESPN Magazine's body issue, the bod issue? And you're like, yeah. And I was like, well, we started to get into that. And so really, we both, I believe, became inspired that this show can be about body types and the gifts and traits that we all have as magnificent human beasts and how the Animal Fit system, which is the proprietary body typing and training system we have here at the Lifetime Body, can work or can be applied to some of these things. So that's pretty much what happened. And again, that magazine issue they do every year, and it's really the one with the artistic and kind of tasteful nudes of athletes across sports, across the lifespan, both genders. And I think it's a fitting impetus to get into talking about how those bodies have strengths and weaknesses and they've leveraged them for maximum performance. And then we can also do the same.
Absolutely. I mean, actually, what you said was, hey, did you check out the body issue? And I'm like, yeah, I checked it out. You're like, every athlete on there has a very round, powerful backside relative to their body type. And you're like, it doesn't matter whether you're a climber or whether you're a defensive lineman or offensive lineman in this case. It is a epicenter of power for the elite athlete. And we thought, well, this conversation has wide-ranging impacts just for all of us out on the street with living our lives. And so that's what I remember, because I laughed because it was, relative to, and I went back and I looked and you're absolutely correct.
Yeah, the Lifetime Body is the home of Operation Booty Jack. So it's kind of a buttock development program. And, all cuteness aside, it really linked up for me quite well because I started looking at all these professional and elite athletes and proportional to their body size, they all had well-developed backside. So really the message here is, with respect to the buttock, you can't be the highest performing athlete to your potential unless you have, the buttock. It's a requirement, a prerequisite. And so that was kind of, we did laugh about that. And then we kind of looked at it even more deeply that body types, they're exemplified by, say, different athletes in different sports or positions. And it really tends to match up well with the way we try to inspire our clients to say, hey, you've got this awesome, great, unique body. Let's discover its strengths and apply them. And so that's kind of what we're diving into today.
Absolutely. Side note on Operation Booty Jack. I'm into week two of the, it's part of my program, as you know, because you put it together. And it is, yesterday was the most intense caboose workout I've ever done. And I tell you, I I think it's going to hopefully, you know, improve my overall sort of a power athleticism.
It will, and it will also come in handy as the holiday season comes around and you need all cracked walnuts.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. So let's frame it in this, like, before we, like, as we're jumping in, everybody has relative strengths and relative weaknesses. Just kind of frame that up for me as we move forward, as the place to get started having this conversation.
Certainly. We all have to look at our bodies as a combination of traits, which are gifts, and that makes us unique. So no person is alike, and no body can have all the strengths. And this is really the natural ancestral design of the human genome, or as I like to say, the human beastosome.
Very nice. It's a mouthful, but it's nice.
The beastosome, yes. And so there's a couple of examples, you know, when we say, well, what is a strength, a physical strength or performance capacity? And that could be strength in and of itself, like the ability to, you know, lift a weight, you know, that can be a great attribute that someone has. Speed, power, agility, mobility, endurance, or even just body size in terms of mass or the absence of it, lightness, all of those things, depending upon the application and many others, can be viewed as strengths.
Absolutely.
So then we go a little further, you know, on this topic and say, well, you know, discovering these traits, and most of us do that through experience and trial and error. You know what you're good at and what you're not. Your life teaches you those lessons. But many times working with a coach or a physical therapist or a trainer, someone like me or others, it's relatively simple. It's quite valuable to clearly identify those strengths. And there are many tests and measures that we have available clinically for every capacity that are easy to administer.
Now, John, I've got to push back a little on this. While it might be relatively simple, I just feel present day out in the world in regard to our bodies, and we've talked about this many times on the pod here, that conversation isn't simple. The context, the world we live in, it's pretty murky. So what you're saying absolutely is, you know, where science and common sense are mashing together. But I think unless you're actually having this conversation and you are sort of being objective about it, and saying, you know, there are strengths and weaknesses, basically how we talk about it, animal fit is designed. I don't know if it is easy to do. It might be simple, but it just, I don't feel like it happens that much.
That might be one of those cases where you're catching me, you know, in my mind, I'm saying, yeah, it is simple and it's easy because that's the world I live in and have for so long. So I want to be, you know, appreciate that and say, well, let's be respectful. Sometimes it can be a mystery for folks. And that's why, you know, we have all these, really, we call them in the athletic preparation world, KPIs or kinetic performance indicators. You know, mm-hmm. So there's these tests, and it could be anything from, you know, vertical jump, broad jump, 40-yard dash. You know, there's a long list. But you can apply these tests and also kind of look at them. Well, where does a person do better or, you know, perform at a higher level versus others? And there are norms to consider as well. So, yeah, so that's kind of what I meant by that. And they're easy for me to use, and I'll say they're moderately easy or challenging, depending on which side of that you want to be on, for others to access. But here's the ultimate point that I would say is, you know, once discovered, you know, of your strengths and weaknesses, you know that knowledge is power, and we've said it here on the show before, self-knowledge is ultimate power.
Absolutely. And I just want to clarify, having gone through Animal Fit individually, having gone through it with friends, relatives, and then also working through it with you, it is relatively simple to designate using the tools that you provided. Without that framework is really what I meant for not knowing or not even being able to celebrate all of our different strengths and, you know, being able to mitigate our weaknesses. So I think that's a good transition to say, all right, just kind of set up Animal Fit in terms of, you know, how did you create this system and what's like sort of the umbrella that it's built on?
I think I tried to create a solution to help all of us understand those gifts. And so, in Animal Fit, you know, every body, it's kind of where the scientific side of things meets the whimsical side. Everybody has a somatotypic presentation. And what we do with animals is we identify what the primary animal is within each of us. And so, you know, you could have a 51%, that's a primary or major percentage, or 99% perhaps. So again, there's a lot of leeway in there, but whether a person is, say, mostly a primary animal in the Animal Fit system, which is one of the three somatotypes, or a hybrid, we can determine that. And so a bear is really what we know in somatotype theory as the endomorph. That's kind of the, you know, the bigger person, the football lineman, if you will. The panther is the mesomorph, and many times speed and explosive traits come out in that. That's Usain Bolt or others. And then we have the coyote or the ectomorph, and that's the the lean, economical, endurance-oriented human body type. And so everybody is again this unique blend. And so we created the system, or I created the system, to allow you not to feel that you're put in a box, but that you can actually, I can understand where I'm at on these continuums and really embrace the inner animal. And therefore you can unleash your beast and unlock your potential.
Indeed, but it doesn't stop there. There are hybrids of each of these.
Yeah. So, and again, I think there are more hybrids than there are pure examples, if you will, or primaries, because of how the human genome works, it exists. You know, we have, unlike many animal species, we are a melting pot, and so the hybrids from the endomorph or bear family are badger and otter. From the mesomorph or panther, we have the wolverine and the bobcat, and then also from the ectomorph or coyote, we can spin that into either a raccoon or a wolf. And basically, what the Animal Fit system does is it goes through and helps you to understand, well, why, where is that? Is it, it's body size, yeah, but it's also skeletal diameter. It's the integrity and mobility of the joints and connective tissue. It's the muscle fiber types that we have and the wiring systems for our physiology. So all that's, it's easy, it's playful to go through, but you finally understand, oh, that's how, that's why I have these things. And therefore I align best, my best fit animal in my case is a wolf.
Yes. And I do think, having gone through it, and again, gone through it with, some people close to me, I would say that about half of it is like, okay, half is the actualization is like that confirms what I think I know, if I would have thought about it in those terms. But the other half was really wow, that is something that I feel, but I did not see it that way. I think in particular, just making the connections between the bone joints and then the ligaments, those were like, wow, I just don't really think about those that much. But now that you've described it, man, that really does feel like my experience. And so if we kind of zoom in a little bit more, talk to me about the specific strengths of the three beasts, because I think that's a good launching point.
Sure. So we embrace those beasts and we celebrate them. And that's really how, we're going to say this. So bear. And again, all we're saying is that whether one thinks they're almost all bear or they're one of these hybrids where maybe they're more of a badger or wolverine, okay, fine. But the bear has the gift of power. And power comes from these traits. We have high body mass, large muscles and high force capacity, and fairly generous joint mobility. That's what makes up a bear when you see it at the zoo or in the wild. And also, when you look at the offensive lineman you were talking about in the ESPN body magazine or body issue, it's the same thing. That's like, wow, it's very clear that this is what this body is good at doing.
Absolutely. So then let's talk about the panther.
You know, so the Panther, you know, it's all about the speed. So that's more of a, you'll notice, you know, people who are, you know, like halfbacks and sprinters and certain all around type of athletes, they've got a moderate body mass. They're oftentimes fairly lean, fairly muscular, but they use elastic movement patterns or, you know, those things that are used, what's called the stretch shortening reflex and muscle contraction. So the fast twitch fibers really function optimally in these Panthers, and their mobility, you know, through the joints, rest of the body, you know, it's kind of mid-range or reasonable. You know, they don't quite have the generous amount that the bear has, but as we come up on the coyote, they're not quite as, shall we say, stiff jointed, you know, in that case. So they really have this perfect blend of acceleratory capacity.
Well, I like that. And then talk about the coyote.
The coyote, it's really, you know, you can picture one, you know, it's an endurance-based critter, lean, low body mass, lightweight, very fatigue-resistant because of the high proportion of slow-twitch muscle fibers. And the stiffness that they have, you know, stiff-jointed, you can kind of see it in their legs when they move, that's actually economy because the stiff joint doesn't wobble, and so it takes very little energy to keep turning it over and over. And so, again, when we look at the human examples of these creatures, you definitely will see that, well, you know, the elite marathoners are coyotes, the sprinters are panthers, the linemen are bears, and so forth and so on, whether one wants to, you know, say, be a competitive athlete or just use these bits of knowledge for fitness training.
Yes. And now let's look at the weaknesses. And I know that this is an area where I just think it's important because I know that you don't want to frame it in terms of negativity, but based on the flip side of the coin of strengths is weaknesses. And I think that, you know, not being negative, but just acknowledging that there are limitations based on, you know, what kind of beast each of us are. So let's talk about that for a sec.
Yeah, so looking at the weaknesses, or maybe another way to say that is just the less strong points of a creature, is valuable because then we can acknowledge what they are and especially recognize what to do with them over the lifespan. So with a bear, you know, we talked about those attributes, you know, with the power and the high body mass and the force and the mobility. Well, that results in high joint loads. And so high joint loads increase the shear forces within our joints and can, doesn't necessarily mean it will, but it can pose an increased risk for joint damage, destruction, eventually osteoarthritic change, that sort of thing. So that's what a bear, you know, has to look at to balance the bear body. Now the Panther, I had mentioned that they're moderately mobile in the joints, but their muscles and tendons, because they have a lot of fast twitch fibers and they have these very long, strong tendons, which are designed for that acceleration, and there's some uniqueness to how their elasticity and collagen deposition in those tissues happen. They can stiffen up over time, and so old Panthers definitely have to watch out for getting too stiff, because if you don't have any degrees of freedom in your movement capacity, you have this risk for tears and ruptures. So whereas a bear has that kind of grinding wear and tear potential on a joint, or you know, could a Panther, is they're the dudes that blow out, you know, and you see this a lot in kind of middle-aged Panthers at the gym, in the racquetball court, Achilles tendon ruptures, or you see them, you know, tearing muscles out on the weekend in softball league and that kind of thing. So gotta watch that. And then with the coyote, really the whole thing comes down to, you know, that leanness over time means that, okay, well, we've got limited muscle mass. And so, you know, longevity and chronology is very much linked to having enough muscle to function and the metabolic things that the muscle does as well. So the loss of this muscle called sarcopenia, you know, it is correlated fairly strongly with decreased function, quality of life, and early death. And so, you know, we just want to be aware of those things. And I think I may have presented those a bit more dark cloudish than I meant to, because it's really not, in most cases, that big of a concern. It's a small concern.
Sure, but I really don't even think it's a dark cloud. It's just, you know, we're being realists here that those are the things to keep in mind based on whatever the core animal you are. So I do think that this is a great, having set the table with all of those points, let's get into really the meat of the topic today. Question is, how do we mix training emphasis across the lifespan? How do we get there based on what we know about ourselves to get the most?
Okay, so physics meets physiology. Yeah, and I think that's really what this is all about. So you when you look at performance, generally speaking, some of those traits or characteristics that we described, the highest performers in a specialized thing, they tend to be outliers. You know, they're out there, they're really gifted in this one thing, and maybe not as much in some others. And then when we look at other terms like versatility and durability and kind of all around, you know, that's a person that has maybe a bit more a blend of traits and they're living a little closer to the middle. So we always want to, you know, kind of recognize that in the individual and say, okay, well, where might they be? And also, what are their goals? Now, having said all that, what I'm going to say is that when we want to really focus on peak performance, and most of the time, that's when we're young, and I'm going to say, based on my population, that's up to about age 35, and I'll try to qualify that again in a moment. We use what I call the max min strategy, or the maximum slash minimum focus. And what that means is we put a maximum amount of our focus in training and conditioning, exercise, on the strength. So make sure I'm clear on that, on the prominent attribute in the beast, not, and that may or may not be physical strength, you know, using this term that way. And then in younger folks, or exceedingly healthy folks and balanced folks, the weaknesses are not yet too much of a concern. So we really don't need to do much with them. You know, we just need to be aware. So we put a minimum amount of emphasis in, and that's going to guarantee the best outcome, or at least the chance for the highest performance, because we're living in the world of the strength.
Absolutely. Got it.
Okay, so really quickly, so what's a bear do? You know, what's a bear to do? Well, you know, strength and power training and sports that do that. That's going to be great. And, you know, they're always going to shine there. And we always want, with anything we're doing, we always want good technique and good coaching. That goes without saying. Those Panthers, working on the speed and the agility and the explosive training, and the sports that utilize that, they're going to shine the most there, and they're going to be supple and mobile enough that they're not going to, you know, be at too much of a risk anyway. And then the Coyotes, they really gravitate towards the endurance, the aerobic activities, the stamina requiring sports. And so we'll see that. So that's what we call max min. Then we say, okay, well, what's the next level? Is it what needs to happen at middle age? Maybe. And I say maybe because, again, it, you know, health can override some of these things, but a more balanced approach, shall we say, in terms of strengths and weaknesses is what I call mod-mot, or moderate. So you're kind of like working even amounts on your strength and your weaknesses. And this, you know, I've got a client in his late 60s who trains this way because he, you know, does as well as many of the 30-year-olds in terms of being able to, you know, train and absorb it and recover, you know, because these lifestyle factors are so powerful. But anyway, the bear with a mod-mod approach, they're going to still be in the gym a lot, but now some more attention is going to be placed upon body composition, to not get too heavy, to decrease those joint loads. And then we start to use the training that in the physical therapy world, we call it joint protection strategies. And that's learning how to position and work closer to mid-range of any part of the body, and avoiding excessive, in other words, high or prolonged end range stresses, which can further, you know, increase that joint mobility and loading. And so it's all based on body mechanics and postural awareness. So let me take that Panther and say, okay, well, yeah, you know, you can still do most of the same things, but you're going to need to add a bit more mobility work, and your warm-ups might need to be extended in your routines. Also, with the Panthers, we want to make sure that diet is anti-inflammatory. Now this is true for every human. You know, we want to not eat pro-inflammatory foods, which we know to be, the refined sugars and the processed grains and the seed oils, those things, you know, that's not even an argument that they promote inflammation in the body. But the inflammation process, you think about it, it's something that leads to scar formation, but it also can lead to stiffening in those tissues. And so we don't want to, feed a panther a crummy diet and tighten them up too much. And then lastly, with the coyote, well, okay, you can still do those endurance activities. That's going to be your wheelhouse, but you want to start to back off the grinding a bit and look at full athleticism, all those things like, mobility and agility and strength and power and start to blend that in. And that's going to give you both really the best performance at that point in life that you're capable of, because you're going to be less likely to get injured, and also the health and longevity benefits.
Absolutely. That makes perfect sense. And I really liked how you framed that up, that when you get in that stage, your strengths don't need as much work, but your weaknesses, you really want to pay more attention to them. That makes perfect sense. What happens when you could sort of move into the next stage, the final stage, the older stage?
Yeah. And I think your comment there about, looking at this balance of weakness versus strength, I think I'm going to address that. So, you decide, what older means and when you need to change focus. But I really say in the performance world, if you're graphing it, it's when performance begins to drop somewhat significantly. And so we'll see this, unfortunately, I see it in many people in their 30s, but at some point for some, it's in the 40s, a lot of people it's in the 50s. And for the really, people that are really doing well, they might even make it through the 60s before they're not seeing, a really significant drop in performance. That is possible. So then we use what's called min-max or minimum maximum. So minimum amount of focus on the strength, a maximum shoring up of the weakness. And why that is, hey, the strength is always the strength. It's always been there and it's been honed all life. So you just don't need as much work on your strength for it to be good. And, someone who, is older, especially an older athlete, they can just tune up that strength with just a few key things and it's right there, and they can pile tons more on and they don't get much more improvement. So that's worth knowing. But now we must not let the weakness rear up and bite our beast in the ass, even if it's a booty jack one. Because it will. Indeed. And that's the problem, with these weaknesses, that as they start to become more pronounced, it's like, oh man, we don't want to be blind to that. So for bears, we say, okay, you really want to start moving away from 1 RM or, maximum, thinking and that sort of thing, and build your program around, a bit more volume of stabilizing movements and just, again, keep that body integrity high. The panther. Okay, so training really becomes more about maintenance of mobility, and the warm-ups are long. Then it is the output. They can, a true panther, and those people, they can turn it on when they want, but they just need to do it sparingly. And then the coyote, their endurance is always going to be there, they just don't need to keep pounding it quite as much. But my advice to them is, now ye must get thee into the weight room consistently, get under load and eat more protein. Got to do it.
Makes sense, John. And I just don't think, I don't see any of that as negative. It's looking at ourselves, in a realistic way. And if you see, these weaknesses and you shore them up, then that is a positive. So I think that, what I'd love to hear are some real world examples from your treasure trove of time in this performance and coaching world, to just kind of take it from the theoretical into the real world.
Yeah, it's earth shattering almost, because when we use these methods and get things right, it's so wonderful to see, okay, people get their best results and they feel great and they stay healthy and they live on. And really, that's that's what all this stuff is about. So this, you know, this animal fit and also, you know, program design coaching model, it's really important. And other people do it. They're doing it similar, some different, you know, but I believe in this way because I've seen it work many, many times. And so even recently I've got some folks I'll share their stories about. And obviously, you know, nothing's cut and dried. Each person needs to be analyzed as an individual, and then those needs determined and met. So it's an art form, designing a program and working through it, you know, adjusting as we go. Everything has to be intelligent and scientific as we've kind of gone through, but also dynamic and flexible and sensing. And so those are really important things. So here's an example of two guys that used that first approach we talked about, which was the max min phase. Maximize their strengths. Don't worry too much about the weaknesses because they're not that pronounced. Well, both these dudes were training for the 800 meter run. So that's a track event, the track and field event. You know, it's two laps. One was a Bobcat. Let's say his percentage of base Panther was about 70%, 30% coyote. So he's a 70-30 Bobcat. And what this really meant was that he had more natural speed than endurance. You know, speed, jumping, explosive nature, that's a Bobcat trait. You can see it. The other dude was a wolf at about 70-30 reversed, 70% coyote, 30% Panther. So, you know, this gentleman had more stamina, and endurance was a bit more of his strong suit. So, you know, even though we know from exercise physiology that the energy demands of the 800 meter event are somewhat static, so that requires about 60% aerobic contribution and 40% anaerobic. How you train an athlete to get to that output level will differ based on where they're coming in at. This would almost make intuitive sense. You know, so it's not like one, here's the program for the 800. No, that's not it at all. So what we did with the Bobcat is we used what's out there in training methodology called a long to short philosophy or approach. And I can explain that. So long to short really just means we started out early season working a little bit more on his weakness, but then we moved towards the strength till that's the only thing we're working on at the end. And so long to short really means you start off with training, whether it's in the weight room or on the track. You know, it's high volume, longer reps, higher numbers of reps, you know, volume oriented, and then we start to polish down because that Bobcat has that ability to shorten and quicken and just feel so confident and powerful. And so that's what long to short is. Now the wolf, really the opposite worked best for him. He went short to long. And so we brought his mechanics up, you know, just working on, okay, you know, your capacity for speed power it's never going to be as great as that Bobcat, but we can get it to be like your best you, and then we'll go ahead and just start working on that grinding and the stamina and the volume and, you know, bigger workouts of longer, harder reps, even shorter recoveries in some cases. And that's what's going to, or that's what did in this case, get peak performance. So these guys in the end, they actually performed very similarly, represented peak performances for each of them, but they got there through different routes.
Absolutely. I think that's really interesting because it's the same athletic event and it is both, you know, both individuals working towards their best performance, but there's different paths to get there. I think that we can all take away and learn from that. Do you have an example from the mod?
Yeah, the mod model. Uh-huh. So I've got an athlete who's a young 68, and what I mean is, you know, he's probably physiologically a lot younger than his chronology. You can see it amongst his peers. You know, he looks like a boy, you know, and a lot of his peers look like old men. He's training for sports and life, and he's done so well with all of our lifestyle, nutrition, and training principles that, you know, he absorbs training and recovers like a 30-year-old, no SHIT. He also embraces intelligent programming. So he's not one of these guys like, you know, I want the schedule to be fixed and always do. No, it's a reactive programming that we use so we address potential problems before they happen. So he can get away with doing more work in his strength relative to his age because his weaknesses are just not that significant.
Absolutely. So do you have an example of that? Like something that that he can do because of all of the combination of this smart work?
Yeah, so this guy, he's able to train intensely several times per week, generally three times per week, then with some filler. In other words, you know, doing the kinds of things that are high performance things in the weight room. You know, he does Olympic style lifting and power lifting, you know, some kind of, you know, modified bodybuilding type of work. He, you know, sprinting, plyometrics, the fun stuff. And he's able to do this several times per week, whereas most of his peers would shatter if they tried to do it, not even do it as often. I meet so many people, you know, in this guy's, you know, peer group who will say things like, I don't do that anymore. And it's such a tragedy when they say that, but I can tell that they don't do it, you know, and that's unfortunate because these things don't have to be lost. We give them up. In other words, vital function. And so, again, rambling a bit there, but that's an example of how a guy uses that moderate model very successfully. And then lastly, this one's kind of important to me because if the thing here is the lifetime body and making your body last a lifetime, I have more than a handful of people who are 70 plus, folks who are trying to fight off and reverse getting frail and having that age-related sarcopenia, the muscle loss, the falling, the breaking a hip, the getting pneumonia, and the dying. It's a real statistic. It's a real scare out there. And eventually, at some point, probably for all of us, you know, we're going to be like, okay, this is my goal. You know, that's what peak performance is not doing that. What we're doing is we're using safe programming. We're not doing stupid things, but these men and women are, they're hitting resistance training to failure a few times per week. So failure, I mean, some of it's heavy, some of it's actually time under tension or higher reps. Again, what's safe and what movements are appropriate and modified and ranges and all that. But they're doing that. And here's the other thing, getting that protein, the bolus up to, you know, 30 plus grams per feeding several times per day, trying to eat a minimum of, you know, about 1.5 grams minimum of protein per kilogram of body weight every day. Or, you know, you look at, if you like pounds, it's about 0.8 grams per pound. That's the minimum threshold where you're just not going to undergo muscle protein synthesis if you don't eat it that way. So to say a little bit more about that, you know, here's an interesting thing. You know, it's a gender thing. I've observed quite a bit. The guys don't listen as well as ladies, you know. And so what I mean by that is, you know, if you have a training program, and you say, okay, this is how we want to do it. We might be dynamically changing it, and you're issuing that. But most of the women execute; they get it done. The guys don't listen as well. They tend to want to question and change things up too often, and a lot of times they fall into the trap. Again, these older guys were trying to maintain their muscle mass. They resist hitting the volume, or excuse me, they resist hitting the intensity that they need to, but they just put in more filler, more volume in training. So they're doing higher volumes of, like, you know, junk training, bull crap stuff. And so I have to stay on them about that. And that's a message out there to, you know, all your older guys, you know, you have to be safe and warm up and all that. But, you know, when it's time to hit it, you got to hit it and then you're done. And then, you know, with the chicks, chicks just need to eat more meat, and there's such pushback on it. This one's well documented as a gender issue. You know, females are less inclined. You tell a guy like, "Hey, I want you to eat a steak every day." They're like, "Yeah, okay." A woman's like, no, I can't do that. That's a heavy, full feeling. I'm like, that's called satiety. That's what your genes want. You know, this light, hungry all the time sensation from eating, you know, cereal, which will wreck your hormones, give you polycystic ovary syndrome and Alzheimer's. No, don't do that. So there's a lot of ranting that John Boy has to do from time to time with his clients, but it's all done with love.
Absolutely. But I do think that's interesting, just in general, as you're saying, you know, like some weight training as you get into that sort of that last stage. And then fueling for that weight training for maximum longevity and performance.
Yeah, and that's mostly true again for you know, the coyote side of the animal fit kingdom, because they're the ones that are having these issues. So the bears and the panthers, they're going to have more mass to start with, and their bodies are naturally going to be wired to maintain it. So they need a bit less. They need some of those potentially other things. But with these really, you know, thin people, it gets down to a point where, we want mobility and we want balance and all those things, but largely function is a result of muscle mass and fast twitch muscle fiber. And we've got to embrace that and find a way to keep it, you know, simple, straightforward and fun.
Absolutely. So that really, that accentuates the different, all the sort of the subtleties and the big picture stuff. How would you close it out? What's the sort of like your view, your parting shot for this subject for today?
I'd say it's powerful stuff. You know, matching up, you know, learning strengths and weaknesses, and then matching them up. And so it can be simple. It can be fun when we use Animal Fit and get things right. And so, you know, hey folks, let us know your reactions, your questions, your comments about that. It's really fun to share and engage. And please, rate and review if you can. That really does help us in this world where we're trying to reach more people with these powerful messages. And if you want more help with your own goals, by all means, pick up a copy of Animal Fit. That's available on thelifetimebody.com under programs. That may be changing in time, but right now it's still under the menu item programs. When you click on it, Animal Fit comes right up. Or sign up for some coaching if you'd like to really take it to the next level. So that's me being me. And, my sign off, I'm going to turn it back over to you, PK. It's just until next time. This is Jay-Z signing off from TLB, where you make your body last a lifetime and achieve peak performance at any age.
Adios, everyone.